Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
I am fired up. Get your popcorn. All right, let's dive into a bunch of different stories. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays wherever you may be. It's past time, well past time, for Major League Baseball and the NBA to be back training, preparing to resume their seasons. This is utterly ridiculous. Props to the NHL for at least putting a plan together out there to return to the ice. The NHL has an infinitely more difficult job than Major League Baseball or the NBA do, and I'm going to tee off on both of those leagues here momentarily, but first think about what the NHL needs. They are a multinational organization. There are a lot of different teams playing in Canada right now, and the border is shut down with Canada, by and large, for your average person to be able to go back and forth. The NHL needs ice. It's difficult, by and large, to find ice that can reliably handle a ton of hockey games. All the NBA and Major League Baseball need are basketball courts and a baseball field, effectively. That ain't hard to find. The NHL has much more physical contact on a play-to-play basis than the Major League Baseball or the NBA do. Yet the NHL has managed to put together a plan to come back sooner rather than later, and Major League Baseball and the NBA still aren't. Now, the data out there is important, significant, and still understood by relatively few people. The CDC last week came out with the latest data on the coronavirus since the outbreak. I want you to listen carefully because all of this is important. I will open up the phones if you have questions, but this underlies why sports should be back now, as in right now, okay? First of all, if you are under the age of 50, according to the most recent CDC data, you are under more danger from the seasonal flu than you are from this coronavirus. Let me repeat that. If you are under the age of 50, which nearly two-thirds of the United States population is, you are under more danger from the seasonal flu than you are this coronavirus. We probably never should have shut down over this, frankly, what the data reflects now. But for a couple of weeks, everybody was panicked and nobody knew what was going on. The idea that we should still have states that are shut down as we come up on the end of May is absolute madness, okay? If you are listening to me in a state and you aren't able to do your normal life right now, this is insanity. Over the weekend, I took off Monday and Tuesday. I went to the beach in Florida. I continued to eat in restaurants as I've been doing for the entire month. I went and flew on an airplane to and from Nashville and had absolutely zero issues. I feel comfortable making all these decisions because I'm young and healthy, under the age of 50, and I'm not going to allow fear of a virus to change my life forever. Some of you want to do that. That's absurd. If you are under the age of 24, you are more likely to be struck by lightning than you are to die of the coronavirus. Let me repeat that. If you are under the age of 24, you are more likely to be struck by lightning than you are to die of the coronavirus. If you are under the age of 14, and right now you would ordinarily be playing Little League Baseball or Little League Softball, you are more likely, 20 times more likely, to die of the seasonal flu than you are of the coronavirus. this coronavirus is deadly to people who are of advanced age and have substantial health-related issues. If you live in a nursing home, you are under danger, great danger from this coronavirus. But the average age of death from the coronavirus, okay, is older than the average age of death in this country, period. That is, the people who are dying of the coronavirus are older than the average age of people who are dying of all viruses in this country. Pennsylvania has had more people over the age of 100 die of the coronavirus than they have people under the age of 45. It is madness that the state of Pennsylvania is shut down. It is insanity that the governor of Pennsylvania was upset at Ben Roethlisberger for getting his hair cut. I'm sorry, I look at all the data and the amount of idiocy out there surrounding this is driving me bonkers, because sports should be back right damn now. And in Major League Baseball in particular, all right, I'm going to tee off on Major League Baseball in particular here. Major League Baseball naturally socially distances. The players are relatively far apart for most of the game. It's easy, by and large, to play baseball without having to come into contact with very many guys on a regular basis. And moreover, it's no longer about health, which is now the biggest issue with Major League Baseball. It's about whether or not guys will take pay cuts and whether billionaires and millionaires can figure out a business relationship to return baseball. This is 1994 all over again. There are baseball players and owners, maybe, who knows, and maybe executives who listen to this show, who start off their mornings with OutKick. Let me tell you this in no uncertain terms. I will not go to games in your stadiums for years if you guys can't get this worked out. How do I know that? Because I did it after 1994, when you couldn't find a way to return the season and didn't play the World Series. I said, screw baseball. They don't care about their fans. Why should I spend my money on them? Right now, when I travel with my family, we go to games in cities, even though it doesn't necessarily have to be a part of the vacation. It's probably the way that a lot of you are. In the past few years, I've gone to games in Seattle to watch the Mariners and in Colorado to watch the Rockies play. I've bought good seats, taken my entire family, and we've had a good time watching baseball. But guess what? We could have done any number of other activities and spent our money elsewhere. As a promise from me right now, I will make it clear for everyone out there listening. If you do not get baseball back sooner rather than later, for the next 5 years, you won't get a single dollar of my money, period. I think it's important for fans to vote with their pocketbooks. You need to make businesses understand that there are lots of places out there competing for your business on a day-to-day basis. If Major League Baseball can't find a way to return and help America get back to normalcy right now, this year in 2020, I won't spend money, nor do I believe that you should, on Major League Baseball in the near future or even for the next several years. That is how markets work. Major League Baseball needs to get this figured out sooner rather than later. If they don't, if they are unable to, if they are unwilling to, that is certainly their prerogative, but it can be my prerogative to say, I will no longer support your brand of business. 27,000 of you voted last night when I put this question up. 54% of you said you would be less likely to buy tickets or watch games on TV in future years. Doesn't surprise me. That's a big problem for Major League Baseball. Fans want millionaires and billionaires to work out this issue. If they can't, it's a major, major issue going forward. Right now, there's a proposal that everybody would make substantially less money. I have said that I think it's fair for Major League Baseball owners and players to split revenues, and owners should be honest about total revenues that they are receiving for baseball. If there are not going to be fans present, the dynamics of baseball revenue are completely different. And so baseball contracts should be completely different. I can come up with several different ideas that seem to me totally rational and reasonable on a way that you could work this out. For instance, let me give you an example. If you have a Major League Baseball contract and you are scheduled right now to make $35 million a year, which not many players are, but some are, under the proposal, you would only make $7.8 million this year. Okay? A player making $10 million would make just shy of $3 million, and a player earning $1 million would receive $434,000. A player making the MLB minimum would earn half of his contract. 65% of all Major League Baseball players make less than $1 million. My solution here would be give players the option to add an additional year onto their contracts and not have this year count as a contracted 4 year. Or if players would rather count this year as a contracted 4 year, they can. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you are set to make $35 million this year, add an extra year onto your contract, whatever it might be, if you would so desire, and you can make $8 million this year in a non-traditional season playing. That way, you're keeping your existing contract and you're adjusting on the fly for what is a messy season. If you are younger and you want to get through your existing contract faster, you could have this year count and you would get to free agency 1 year faster. Give players an option to elect to either count or not count this year as a part of the contract under which they are under. That seems completely reasonable as a way to solve this issue. All of these things are, frankly, issues that can be resolved, I think, fairly easily and expeditiously. I feel like if you put me in a room as the mediator with owners and players, I could solve this in a day. I really 100% believe this. Major League Baseball players should be training to return right now. Moreover, if you look at the data and the trajectory under which we are following right now, it's possible, maybe even probable, that by August or July, there's almost no issues with the coronavirus anywhere in this country. Some of you out there are like, oh my God, what are you saying? Look at the data is what I say time after time after time, and adjust your behavior as the data reflects that you should. And the data right now is pretty simple and straightforward, all right? Each of the last 3 days, 654 or fewer people have died of the coronavirus in this country. Let me repeat that. Each of the last 3 days, 654 or fewer people have died of the coronavirus in this country. What does that mean? What are you telling us, Clay? Well, I'm just saying 7,500 people die every day in this country. Over the last 3 days, nearly 7,000 people are dying of something other than the coronavirus. It's not becoming worse. In fact, it's becoming substantially better right now every single day. It's not crazy to look at the data right now and say, well, we just saw Memorial Day and we saw 654 or fewer people die in the last 3 days, continuing a substantial decline that we have seen over the past several weeks. What might it be by July 4th when baseball is talking about finally being back? By July 4th, we might be down to a couple hundred, maybe lower, numbers of deaths that are occurring. By August, we could be talking about fans back in the seats. It's hard to project exactly what any situation will look like, but the data all reflects that sooner rather than later, a large degree of normalcy should and will occur in this country. If it hasn't already, baseball needs to be a part of that normalcy. And again, I don't think it's crazy to believe that baseball by August could be talking about bringing fans back in some numbers to the stands. I believe when baseball happens and starts to do that, it will impact other sports. I think the NBA needs to be back sooner than rather than later as well. But baseball in particular is, to me, relatively easy to work out. I also believe that things can change in a hurry. 2 weeks ago, a lot of people were saying, oh my God, will we play football this fall? Now the conversation has shifted to, not only do most people out there believe we will play football, the question is how many fans will be in the stadium? All of this is moving in a very positive direction. The data is clear. And if Major League Baseball can't get this worked out, frankly, they are imbeciles. I will open up the phone lines now. 877-996-6369. I will answer any of your questions about this. I hope you are having a fantastic Wednesday. In hour number two, we will talk with John Morosi, who is our Major League Baseball insider, about all of this. And then in the third hour of the program, Petros Papadakis will be hanging out with us. I appreciate all of you spending your Wednesday morning with me. I hope a lot of you are starting to get back to a sense of normalcy in your life. I hope that your jobs are opening up. They should be. It's high time to attack the 40 million unemployment number out there and start to return to normalcy in this country, particularly if you are young and healthy and under the age of 50. You are not in danger from this virus.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
John Morosi. Is it going to happen or not? Because I got to be honest with you, I am getting fed up with the fact that Major League Baseball just can't get this worked out.
Well, good morning, Clay. I would say, my friend, we must have patience still for the next week or 10 days. I remain optimistic that we're going to have baseball. One of the most important reasons why is that the proposal yesterday from MLB to the union did not involve that 50-50 revenue split that the union reportedly did not want to have. And so now it's just a matter of negotiating on the financial aspects of it. Yes, there is still a reduction in salary. That was a really big part of the agreement yesterday. But I think in general, as long as there's a way to negotiate around those particulars, we could potentially see, and I still think we will see, baseball in 2020.
All right, here's a question that I have for you. If you gave the players the option to either consider this year to be one of their contracted years or not, let me explain what I mean by this. Let's say you are Mike Trout and you're making $35 million plus or whatever it is, and he's taking a huge pay cut to play this year. What if you allowed him to elect to add one more year to his contract and effectively this year doesn't really count? But if you're a young guy and you are out there and you're making $1 million a year, but you want to work towards your payday one year in the future, what if you allowed the young guy to be able to count it? In other words, what if you gave players the option? Because then it kind of turns it into, okay, this is a totally unnatural year, but we know it's important to come back. It seems like that might be something that is really appealing to players because it gives them the option to make the best financial decision for themselves without having to consider this to be a huge precedent that's being set for this year.
That's a very credible idea, Clay. The general sense being that players at varying ends of the spectrum could be or perhaps should be handled differently. And
yes,
and we're already seeing that. Reportedly, Jesse Rogers of ESPN reporting some of the details of the scale in terms of what the salary reductions would be. The players on the lower end actually have a higher percentage of what their salary would have been they are still going to get under the current proposal, whereas the more dramatic reductions on a percentage basis go to the highest earners at all. So interestingly, Clay, there's a pretty large percentage of players, maybe even a majority of players, who are within range of what the prorated salary was going to be on the lower end, and certainly for just based on the numbers of the union, those players, half the league or so, probably more than that, stand to earn about what they would have on a purely prorated basis, period. So I think it's, to your point, Clay, that there is probably a way to handle different players in a unique way based on where they're at in their career and on the salary scale. And I do think that the need to earn that money for the players on the lower end who have not made their largest fortunes, of course, to this point in time, could be one of the really key factors in arriving finally at an agreement.
Here are a couple of data points that I think are important for fans out there listening to us. If you make, I think the Major League Baseball minimum is around $563,501. Based on reading this, if you make that league minimum up to $1 million, you would make, under this Major League Baseball proposal, 72.5% of your yearly salary. If you make up to $5 million, you make 50% of your salary. So all players who make $5 million a year or less would make at worst half of their salary, considering they're playing half of the season. I think most people out there listening would say, that kind of sounds pretty fair to me. You know, again, you can negotiate around the edges, and certainly higher paid players may have more, be more upset over what's happening here. But for $5 million or less, which is the substantial majority of Major League Baseball players, to be making at least half their salaries, that doesn't sound like a non-starter to me. That sounds like a fairly good offer.
Well, Clay, I think just the one point of fact on that, based on what the details ESPN have reported, it's that is the percentage of the prorated amount that they would still make. So, in other words, for the 563 player, the prorated amount would be 285. Again, according to Jesse Rogers' numbers, so 285 would be half, and that under this proposal they would get 262. So they'd go from 285 to 262. The point being that, to your point, I think in general, Clay, that you're making is those players would be getting a lot closer to what their baseline expected salary would be than on a percentage basis what the highest earners would get. And that makes good logical sense. It really does. And that, I think those numbers overall, my hope is that they're a reasonable starting point, and then you can negotiate from there. I think that's while it's certainly not ideal that in many ways it's all playing out in public in terms of the negotiations, this is still a matter of bargaining. And I think it's important to be patient and to not criticize the union or MLB too much just for having a negotiation at all, because that's a natural part of sports. I think that we have to wait and see what the agreement is. I believe there's going to be an agreement in the next week to 10 days. And frankly, Clay, I think it's important to point out, too, the track record for baseball to reach an agreement is actually quite strong. Of our four major sports, they are the sport that's gone the longest since a work stoppage. So it has worked out. It just requires, I think, now a little bit more negotiating than it has for the NBA and the NHL right now.
So I think many people are where I am, where initially this is a health-related concern. Now it's a money-related concern. If they can't work it out, how crippling is this to baseball if they just didn't play this year?
Well, it would obviously be problematic for the sport long-term. There's no question about it, especially when you compare it to the sports that are going to play, it appears, in the case of the NHL and the NBA. I'll restate that I believe baseball will play. I think there's going to be an agreement. I realize that it seems far away right now, but I think both sides, to your point, Clay, realize that. They realize how important it is for the long-term viability of the sport to get the game back on the field this year once they can do so safely, and I believe that they will realize that and make it happen. I think, Clay, it's interesting that while there is still this public contentiousness on some levels with the negotiations, you had this week Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida, opening up for players to work out in small groups, and they were there. The players were there 2 days ago. There's photos of it on the Rays Twitter account. So I take a step back and say, yes, they're negotiating, but if there was really pessimism about playing this year, do I really think that there would have been players at the Major League Baseball home facility of a team working out 2 days ago in their gear for the season? It seems to me, Clay, that is a really good data point overall, that they're talking and that there's hopefully going to be an agreement. But I think that, to your point, it really is incumbent on the leagues to make the right decisions with the right amount of care and thought as it relates to public health. But when it comes to getting the game back in front of their fans and taking care of everybody that's involved in the sport, all things must be done properly. But I think the key thing is showing that proper sensitivity to the public, but also getting your product back in front of the fans is of paramount importance for baseball right now.
What's your time frame here? I know we talk about this a lot, but is June 1 the drop dead date? Is June 10? Like, when do they need to have this ironed away in order to get back?
I would say around June 1, early days of June. So that means by early to middle part of next week. And that's a general range. I don't think that if you can't reach an agreement by June 1, then June 2 all of a sudden is too late. I think that there is still some time. And again, the fact that the first proposal from MLB to the union was in the same general economic framework of the way the sport has operated. In other words, there was no strict revenue sharing as part of it. Then you're just going over numbers as opposed to philosophy. And that, to me, is where I realize that these are big numbers that are hard to comprehend, but when you are at least discussing the numbers, it's at least good that you're in the same rhetorical headspace as opposed to arguing about how you're going to actually frame things. So I'm optimistic that they'll find a way. And yes, Clay, I believe that by the early middle part of next week is going to be the really crucial time to make sure that they have a deal ready to roll.
Let's look at the data as the data is coming in. Things are getting better, right? We don't know whether that's going to continue projection-wise, but I believe there will be fans in some form or fashion in football stadiums come September, right? For college and pro on some level. Some people can disagree. I think if you look at this Major League Baseball season, there's a possibility, if things continue to move in the direction they're moving in right now, that there could be fans in the stadium before Major League Baseball is done. How would that factor in potentially to the revenue here? Is it flexible in that sense? In other words, let's say that things get a lot better than baseball expects. They play throughout the entirety of the postseason. How does that get factored into what players get paid?
Yeah, it's a fair question, Clay. I think right now that, especially given the origin of the agreement to play and the conditions by which this process and the pay structure is being reopened by MLB, because it is not currently safe across the country in every place to have fans in the stands, because of that reality, there is then now this separate negotiation on salary, and I don't foresee baseball changing that approach of no fans, because one of the most significant concerns right now, Clay, is that you're able to play the playoffs, and so MLB is not going to want to risk having a large mass gathering that could potentially become a super spreading event, like we saw, for example, in Italy with the soccer game that was played right before the outbreak in Bergamo in the north of Italy. Baseball does not want that to happen, first and foremost because of the public health reality, but also second of all because it would jeopardize the playoffs. And the most important thing from baseball's perspective is to have the playoffs played and get them on television. And if that obviously, aside from the larger concerns about life and well-being, but that from a strictly operational perspective, that's the key concern, because that's where most of the revenues come in. And I believe, Clay, that the agreement will reflect the reality that if they're able to play the playoffs, perhaps there could be a larger amount of sharing of the revenues, as Joel Sherman's reported there, with the union from the playoffs if and when they are played.
Outstanding stuff as always, John Morosi. Hopefully next week we'll be able to announce the return of baseball. I'm hoping for it when we talk to you.
Sounds great, Clay. Thanks so much for all the time, my friend, as always.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We're joined now by Petros Papadakis at The Old P on Twitter, AM570 LA Sports. Petros, you've been pretty apprehensive, I would say, about sports coming back, about normalcy coming back. What is your vibe now in the city of LA about baseball, about football, about everything else? Are you actually feeling optimistic?
Well, first of all, nothing's back. I love how we keep talking about how everything's back.
Let's be honest. NASCAR is back.
All right.
The PGA, yeah. We had golf. Golf is back. The UFC is back. And I love that you're – I try to give you a softball, a nice, easy opportunity for you to be optimistic, and immediately you are the prince of gloom.
No. It just occurred to me yesterday, and – when I think of things being back, and with all due respect to NASCAR and our colleagues at Fox, who I thought did an unbelievable job and have been doing great work with the races and explaining it to people who usually don't watch that kind of stuff, and showing everybody how the broadcast is working between LA and Charlotte and
yep.
the racetrack, that's all really cool. And I'm not trying to disparage those things. But, you know, I think – I speak for most people when I talk about things being back. We're talking about the NBA, we're talking about baseball, we're talking about dates for football and maybe hockey. And right now, none of it's back. I mean, none of it's happening, nothing's set in stone. We're spinning our wheels still. I'm sure we're headed in the right direction, and I get that vibe, and I'm confident we're going to have football. And I think I told you that a couple months ago, once Oregon's president came out and said, we're going to plan on having kids on campus and we're going to plan on playing football games. That was kind of like the first crack in the wall, I think, and everything kind of started moving in that direction. The Pac-12, even, for God's sakes, is going to let their players on campus to, you just heard in the update, to work out. So things are moving, but nothing's really happened yet, and baseball's missing this great opportunity, and basketball's looking like they're moving forward with your utopian idea. So I'm looking forward to seeing what might happen, but, you know, it's a long time coming, I'll tell you, and it has been frustrating just going through all the speculation, which I despise. You know, it's like trade talk. You talk about a bunch of stuff that's eventually not going to happen.
All right, we know this is going to happen. Universal Studios Orlando is scheduled to be open June 5th. Disney World down in Florida as well is putting in place a plan to open back up their park sooner rather than later. Now, we'll see what happens with Universal Studios Hollywood and Disneyland out in California. But doesn't it seem kind of crazy to you that you can walk around and go see like Harry Potter Land, but before you're going to be able to watch a baseball or basketball game on television?
Yeah, there's a lot of contradictions and incongruity throughout this. You know, they opened the beach near where I live, but they still won't let people park on the strip.
Right.
So it just makes parking more difficult. But the beach was still packed with people, and the lifeguards and the people on the beach aren't interested in enforcing the rules, and no one's really sure what the rules are. You know, the Orange County Sheriff just came out and said he's not going to enforce a face mask rule. He's not doing that. So
it is, by the way, let me say this. It is lunacy that you should have a face mask on the beach, in my personal opinion, right? Like, I have been going to the beach in Florida for a month now. I have not seen a single person wearing a mask on the beach. Not to say you can't wear a mask if you want to, but that kind of defeats the entire purpose, not to mention you might smother yourself if it's super hot and you're sitting there in the mask. I don't know about you, Petros, but I'm already thinking like ahead to, for instance, SEC football games. If they require masks, we're going to have people heat stroking out like you've never seen before because they're going to be sitting there in hot masks and it's 95 degrees with 120% humidity and people are not going to be able to breathe.
Well, two things. One, I have seen people stroke out at a football game from the heat.
It happens every year in the SEC, I mean, in particular, but also out in the Pac-12, depending on how hot it might be at SC or UCLA.
I played, or Arizona, Clay.
Yeah, good point.
I played in the hottest game in the history of the University of Southern California at the Coliseum recorded, which was Drew Brees' debut as the Purdue quarterback. And it was one of those kickoff classic games. And
how hot was it?
I was telling you that I scored my first touchdown ever in that game. Anyway, and we beat Drew Brees. But
did you tell Drew Brees to wear it? He's still playing, but at that time when he was 19 years old, were you like, Brees, you're never going to be able to rise to my level?
No, we had no idea. You know, we had no tape on him because he had never played before.
Right.
And he came out, and he was Drew Brees, and we were like, holy crap, who the hell is this guy? You know, it was a trip, you know, and then it was crazy to watch his career from there, and he really is a prince of a guy. But that being said, it was like 135 on the field.
Oh, my God.
And I went into I had to get some medication, quote-unquote, at halftime, and there was like six cheerleaders and a couple of tuba players on IVs all laid out in our training room.
Yep.
It was a massacre.
Did they have the tuba with them in the training room, or did they let them leave it behind?
I think it was in the hall.
Yeah. Somebody could steal the tuba, you know, if the tuba guy strokes out. I mean,
it's a private locker room, for God's sake.
I mean, if they left it in the stands.
Well, amongst the band, the Spirit of Troy?
You think somebody's going to step to somebody else if they just show up and take a tuba? The band is not that. I think somebody could walk out with the tuba.
You can't even walk through the band. And even though they're pretty dorky, their strength in numbers, man. Come on.
So you think the tubas would have been safe?
Yes, completely.
So did the girls have to wear the sweaters, or did they get to wear, like, because, you know, the sweater's pretty hot on the USC
cheerleader. No, they were dying.
Yeah, they almost died.
They couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Their skin couldn't
breathe. If they had to wear masks as well as those sweaters, they probably would be dead today.
Well, it might be a bad scene. The other thing I was thinking about was if you put the NBA in Orlando, right, and Disney World is like closed or half closed or whatever, and you got all these NBA media guys running around, and, you know, basically, you know, like that game of whatever it is, Game of Zones on a Bleacher Report.
Yes.
Like all those people that are in that show are going to be in Orlando in like an empty amusement park, which is really going to be like a Scooby-Doo episode.
But I mean, that's funny, but I think the park is going to be back open before they start to play.
Well, then what's the point of having your nobody there utopian NBA society?
I think that the NBA is taking so long on this. That's my point. I think that Disney World is going to be back open. Now, they may be able to take one of the Disney hotels and just say, hey, this is the bubble. You know, like nobody else is allowed on this property. But the NBA has waited so long that my bubble idea doesn't make as much sense. Like Vegas is opening back up. Disney World is going to be open back up. The bubble idea made sense. It was a brilliant idea of mine when the rest of the nation was not open back up. But if you can go check into a random hotel in Vegas, or you can take your family to the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or whatever the heck it is, then the idea of the NBA being in a bubble starts to get blown up.
There's no doubt about it, and there's complexities that are multifold in this situation, and your idea may or may not have been brilliant, but it seems like nobody's going to be able to get their ducks in a row enough to pull it off before a lot of places seem to be opening up more than they would. The baseball thing is really interesting. You know, if I was a baseball guy, especially these guys that make the tens of millions of dollars and the very talented guys like Mike Trout, like that guy, I wouldn't argue about the money or come out and talk about the money. You know, if they're going to make it about something and we're not going to have baseball, which is going to cripple them like it did in 1994, they better make it about health, you know, and say, well, I have a newborn, or well, this, or, you know, I have a family member that's immune deficient. Because if they can't figure it out and it's because of the money distribution, that's going to be bad for baseball.
Amen. And you're it's a good point. And not trying to pick on Mike Trout, but if he comes out and says, yeah, it's just not worth playing for $8 million when I'm owed $35 million under my contract or whatever else, then that's going to make him look really bad, I think. And I understand his argument of, hey, I've got a contract. I'm entitled to the money that I signed for. But there are most people out there who have contracts are making way less than their contract would suggest they would, because the economy has completely collapsed and we're dealing with hopefully a once-in-a-century level pandemic response. And so when there's 40 million people out there who have lost their jobs, and when there's even more than that who have taken pay cuts to keep their jobs, there isn't going to be a lot of sympathy for a guy who says, hey, I need to be making more money in order to do my job.
No, and baseball has had better figuring out, because they have some smart people in baseball. The problem is, and it's really interesting to see it play out kind of on a macro level. You get the idea of all these different leagues and how powerful the unions are. And the NBA's kind of below baseball, right below. The players are extremely powerful, but they seem to have a little bit more trust in their commissioner, and they're moving forward. Baseball, you know, the commissioner's made some huge errors, especially with the Astros stuff recently. Everything's getting leaked. It's a total mess. They have the most powerful players union in the history of sports, and they seem to be in like a standoff. And then you have, you know, football, which is like, hey, just get out there and get your head beat in. Don't worry about it, which is the least powerful union in all of professional sports, because the players are so expendable. And I guess we're going to have hockey. Is that or yeah. So, you know, when it starts, let me know.
Speaking of starting, you've talked about some of the ridiculous decisions that have been made, just that they don't seem to have any logic to them. One of them that I think got a lot of attention in the LA area and in California in general was the idea to fill in the skate parks with sand.
Yes.
And I don't know if you saw this, but a bunch of TMZ reported, there's a story out there that a bunch of skaters, I guess, in Venice showed up with their own shovels and shoveled out the skate park so they could skateboard over the weekend. I got to give credit to these skaters. I mean, the idea of filling in the skate park to begin with seemed like an utterly ridiculous thing to do. And let me just say this. The guys who've been wearing masks forever are skaters, right? Like, skateboarders, it seems to me, are always skateboarding around with those masks on that now everybody's supposed to be wearing, you know, with their bandanas and everything else. Is this as much lunacy to you as it is to me that they filled in these skate parks to start with?
Well, yeah. When they put sand in the skate parks, it felt creepy. It felt weird, to me at least, and the shoveling out and the giant vacuums and stuff and shop vacs that happened almost immediately all over the place. I know it happened in San Pedro, and it's tough to see that kind of stuff happening, but you know, at the same time, I do think that part of it here, even in here in California where I live, is behind us. The hard part of it for me is, you know, there's still just a lot of frustration. You know, there's people, and they have a right to be frustrated, that are worried that everybody's going to get sick, and they're running around and screaming at everybody about wearing a mask. You know, these people are all over the place, and, you know, I guess they called it Karens in the Twitter world. And I get that. You know, there's also people that are horrified while they're stuck at home and watching their business dwindle.
Can you imagine if when your family ran a restaurant for a long time?
And I cannot. For 40 years.
And can we were you talking imagine about if this. They had just told you after 40 years of running your restaurant that you weren't allowed to open and you just watched that business disintegrate and disappear?
Yeah, and you just watch it dwindle while you're horrified and you watch all your employees' lives fall apart or whatever. You know, that's really the kind of weird thing about this to me, because it seems that suddenly in society we have this one-dimensional view of what caring is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I care about a lot of things, you know, including old people and sick people. But I think that part of it, hopefully, you know, just as a speaking as a fat sports idiot, is behind us in California, and we're moving forward slowly and, as we say, cautiously.
No doubt. Petros, appreciate you joining us on Wednesday. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have actual tangible news.
Well, my daughter threw up upstairs, and my son's running around insane, so I might just hang out downstairs for a while.
I don't blame you. Good luck. A lot of parents understand that move for sure.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
You're a dumbass. I want to see how stupid you sound. You look stupid as you look, so goodbye.
We got to keep the one. You look stupid as you look.
You look stupid as you look.
We got to keep that one. Can you keep that sound drop from Josh?
You look stupid as you look.
You look stupid as you look. All-time great insult there from Josh in Virginia, who was upset with me. Got to just make. Can you promise me, Danny G, that you will keep that on the drop table
for all time? That goes into the Outkick Caller Hall of Fame.
Let me just hear one more time. You look stupid as you look.
You look stupid as you look.
He waited an hour for that. The best insult he could drop on me was, "You look stupid as you look." It's just
you look stupid as you look.
It's just such an amazing phrase. You look stupid as you look. I just
stupid does.
Forrest Gump there from Virginia called in. Look, he was mad at me because I've been teeing off on Major League Baseball and the NBA and arguing they need to come back. But as we finish off the show here, I want to hit you with a stat that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. You can go read it. You can go look it up on Outkick if you want to. The number of deaths. I'm going to read a list of states that had a more substantial death impact. More people died in 34 states in 2018 from the flu than have died of the coronavirus so far. All right. So as you are starting off your day listening to me, if you live in these 34 states, back in 2018, more people died in your state from the flu than have died of the coronavirus, often by thousands and thousands of numbers. Right. All right. So you can go check this out. Outkick.com. Alaska, Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, California, Florida, Hawaii, Iowa, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, North Dakota, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Nevada, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Vermont, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and Wyoming. If you are listening to me right now in one of those 34 states I just named, more people died of the flu in your state in 2018 than have died of the coronavirus. If you live in Georgia or Washington State, nearly identical numbers of deaths from the flu and the coronavirus. No sporting events were stopped. Schools, by and large, they may have shut down in 2018 for a day or two, but by and large, they all stayed open. No jobs that I'm aware of ever shut down. Yet, the death toll was in the tens of thousands from the flu, and in vast majorities of the nation, more people died. That is pretty unbelievable. And I bet this is the first place you've ever heard that in any way uttered. You can go check it out yourself. If you just heard your state and you're like, hey, I want to go look at what the death numbers are. These are from the CDC. You can go look at these numbers, 34 states plus Georgia and Washington. If you want to add those, because it's basically even 36 states effectively, either the same or fewer deaths in 2018. The flu had more than the deaths from the coronavirus in 2020. We need Major League Baseball back. We need Major League Baseball back sooner rather than later. Disney World, SeaWorld, they're coming up with plans to reopen that are going to be announced today down in Florida. Universal Studios Florida already opening on June 5th. You're going to be able to walk around amusement parks in Florida before you're going to be able to watch the NBA and Major League Baseball on television. Think about how crazy that is. You are going to be able to go to amusement parks in Florida before you are able to watch Major League Baseball or NBA games on television. For months, you are going to be able to walk around in Florida at an amusement park before Major League Baseball or the NBA are back working. The overall numbers continue to decline. It's time for the entire nation to get back to normalcy, for everybody to go back to work, and to start to work on the biggest and most difficult number, 40 million unemployed. The amount of health impacts from that are far more significant than from the coronavirus. We have allowed the cure to be worse than the virus itself. It's time to get back to work, whether you're a Major League Baseball player, an NBA player, or a regular guy or girl out there starting off your morning listening to me. I appreciate all of you. Encourage you to go download the podcast, biggest month in the history of the show in April. I want to make May the biggest month in the history of the show as well. All you have to do is go search out my name and the word OutKick. Appreciate all of you. This has been OutKick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.